عرب مای قدر اصلا مای قدر به ربایی سای در نصیب فون ولاشن wrote a Peirush on the Torah called HaMikdavo. The introduction to Sefer Bereishis, in reality, the Hakdama to Kol HaTorah Kula. The Netziv says as follows. Why is it that Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer HaYoshar, the book of the correct, the book of the upright? In reality, it's talking about the Ovos HaKadoshim. The Ovos were Hasidim and Tzadikim. Ask the Netziv, why isn't it called Sefer Hasidim, Sefer Tzadikim? Answers the Netziv, because above all, even though in reality they were Hasidim and Tzadikim, they were Yeshovim. They were upright, they were straight, they were correct in their thinking. The Netziv then says as follows. The definition of Yosha is a Shevach to Borei Olam, as it says, Hatzur tamim pa'ala ki chol derochav mishpat kele emunah ve'ein ovel, Tzadik b'yoshar hu. He is correct and he is upright. Says the Netziv, it was Yoshar to make a churban beis hamikdash at the time that it happened. It was Yoshar. And the Netziv explains as follows. They learned Torah, they did chesed, they were osik and sochei mitzvahs, they were medakdek in mitzvahs, at the same time there was sin aschino. Says the Netziv, how can you possibly have so much diktuk and so much care and so much tzidkus if there is sin aschinum? How can you possibly have that? How can it possibly work? Let's see if there's anything on to say. The source of it all was as follows. The other person is not like me. He doesn't dress like me. He doesn't behave like me. He doesn't have my customs. He's not on the same path as I am. He doesn't daven in the same minyan as me. He didn't go to the same yeshiva as me. He's different from me. He's different from me. And that was sin aschinam, and they were choshev people to be apikosim and stukim. And that was the basis of the sin aschinam. Besides all their learning, and besides all their diktuk and their chumas that they have, at the same time there was sin aschinam. And then the Netziv says the most shocking of all statements which you can possibly hear of. Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu soivel tzadikim ko'ela. He cannot stomach those type of tzadikim. Who oisek and kol minei mitzvahs and dikdukim and kashrus and chumras and everything else which they do. And yet at the same time, the sin aschinam, hu lo yachol lisbol et zeh, hu lo yachol, zeh i'efshar. How can it possibly be that the people who are so much oisek in that? The ovos hakdoshim were yeshovim. Meaning, says the Tziv, they accepted people who they were. Who they were, they accepted them, they loved them, they recognized each one of them as a tselem elokim. And he then explains, Avraham Avinu saw three dirty Arabs approaching his house. Vayakom vayorotz. Vayar vayorotz. I remember Rabbi Brevda once brought out a beautiful point, Zichroni Livracha. It doesn't say vayakom. Vayar vayorotz. He did a flying leap from the chair. Third day of Bris Mila, 100 years old, in the boiling hot weather. Vayar vayorotz. Come to my house, you kachno matmaim. Vesadu libech imotzosi chen beinecha. These are pearls of courtesy, diamonds of courtesy, which he said to them. And there were three dirty Arabs, and they were nothing else but that. Mahari, he told Sawa to hurry up, and he served them the best that he could possibly do. Remember, Maimai once heard from the Matisyo Zichron Livracha, said as follows, what he served them showed his ayin toiv, not just a lev toiv, an ayin toiv. He served them the tongue, the best that there possibly was, with chadal. For three dirty Arabs, meaning whoever they were, whatever they were. I remember reading from the Mashgiach of Pratzko. The Pratzko once explained as follows. If you notice, when Avraham Avinu bought the Maor HaMachpelah, Vayishtachu b'nei Ches, he bowed down to them. What do you bow down to a mafia godfather? What do you bow down to such a person? Avraham Avinu knew exactly who he was, what type of person he was. Elamai said to Pratzko, it's courtesy when you do business to somebody to show their cheretz. That was the reason why. I believe he was that sort of person. Nevertheless, Avraham Avinu, when you're dealing with people, you have to deal with them. They are, after all, a tzelem elokim. He knew what people were like in Stein. He was fully aware what they were like. And yet he davened for maybe 50, maybe 40. In the end, he had to give up after 10. There was no way out. Why? Because apparently Borei Olam wants kiyum ha'olam, not churban ha'olam. If he created them, he wants them to carry on. He wants them to live. That was the greatness of Avraham. They were Yosha. They accepted people who they were and for what they were. That was the greatness of the Ovos HaKadoshim. Abimelech tried to entice and seduce Rivka. In the end, Yitzchak made a deal with him, made a bris with him. Abimelech. It's a problem with Yerushalayim, that he made a covenant with him. Lavan was like Yasser Arafat, a Khomeini he was. He was a Khomeini, he was a hopeless person. He switched and swindled him continually and continually, and then when he came running after him, he made a deal with him. They were Yosha, they accepted people who they were. Moira Baboisai, you and I both know exactly what's going on here in Eretz Israel. The sinner, the division, the enmity, the quarrels which are going on. Lo aleinu chas v'shalom. We must sit on the floor and we must cry. Please do not say, Eina ni sovel tzadikin ka'elu, who reject people, don't accept. This one wears a kippah surga, this one is a chasidisha, this one is a chabadzka, this one is a sephardi, this one is a breastlover. Anilo yodeh, this is a kibbutznik, mayesh, this is a, whoever it is. No, isn't that the problem we have nowadays? The machlokes which is going on in Klal Yisrael. Noi v'oyam. What the Netziv is telling us here, my boy, say, is, in order to have Hashvas Hashchina and the Mokom Shachanti Besocham, you have to have what's called Yashrus. Yashrus means accepting and learning and dealing with people, whoever and whatever they are. Aboisai, and Chilonim as well. Monos Habach Monos on. No one ever showed him how to say Shema. No one showed him what Shabbos is all about. He had no idea what Limud Torah was. He's a Rachmanis, a Misken. He doesn't know. It has to be a recognition of people. And that's what the Netziv is saying. The Yashrus is what the Ovos had. The Ovos had the incredible quality that they had. The ability to accept them. Whoever, even an Avimelech, even a Lavan, even a mafia man like Ephraim, Mazeh. It means as follows, and this is what the Netziv is saying, it's a cardinal point when we sit on the ground on Tisha B'Av and we think about what's happening here, what's happening in Eretz Yisrael now, the enmity, the media, the courts, what's happening here. There's a tremendous advance in the world in affluence, tremendous advance in technology, unbelievable in culture, in communication, and yet we have a phenomenal regression back to the Dark Ages now, the sinner between Charedim and not. What's going on here is Noir V'Oyayim. What's happening is it's like a regression, completely going back all the way to where we were. It's Noir V'Oyayim. Are we like the Ovos or not? What do we keep on saying? No, three times a day. Zoicher chasdei Ovos, umevi goyel livnei v'nehem, lema'an shemoi ba'ahavo. Meaning, if we have what's called chasdei Ovos, says the Chatzkum, if you can emulate the ways of the Ovos, if you can do that, then maybe Goyal Livnei Benehem Leman Shema Biavol. It's dependent on that. And the Tziv makes a cardinal, this is the Hakdomah, the Kolatoyla Kula, the Yashrus of people. Whoever and whatever they are, he's a Chiloni, he's a Kibbutznik, he doesn't dress like me, he doesn't look like me, he doesn't behave like me. My Yesh Bozeh, what is it? What's bad? What's matter with us? 6 million is not enough. It's not enough. We lost so many kinderlach, so many chasanim, so many bochurim, so many children, so many. How can they possibly be sinner in Klal Yisrael? How can it be? And a person who doesn't know it, he doesn't know anything. Never he doesn't know anything. No one ever showed him what Purim is like. No one ever showed him what it means to learn a black gemot. He doesn't know. He doesn't understand. That's where we must come from. Avraham Avinu was mekabel 3 dirty arrows. Mazeh. But even koyach of Avraham Avinu to accept these people. And Yaakov and Yitzchak. And that's why it's called Sefer HaYosha. Sefer HaYosha means they were chasidim and they were tzaddikim, but it was more than that. It was more than just tzaddikim, more than diktuk and mitzvahs. It was the approach and the understanding and the acceptance of other people. Hagon Rebunim Schreiber, Shebari. At the moment, Nebuchadnezzar is not well. He just went now with the Keren HaTorah, Keren HaOlam to BMG. And he spoke in Lakewood. He spoke, my son was there at the time. He spoke in the yeshiva. He said as follows. Nebuchadnezzar, he has no hair, no beard. He lost everything. A Goan Olam in Klal Yisrael, one of the great Rosh Hashivas in Ramot. He said as follows. I went into a hospital in Eretz Yisrael, and I had to have treatment from one of the top specialists in Eretz Yisrael. The doctor asked me, what do you do? I said, I'm a Rosh Hashiva. He banged on the table and he said, find yourself another doctor, and walked out. He wouldn't treat him. You ever see such a thing in your life? Mazeh. Walk out and they treat all the Arabs. And they, Mazeh, what's going on? The enmity, the division. How can you probably say such a thing like that? How can it be? What's going on here? We have to, part of our cheshbon ha-nefesh, when we sit on the ground and we think about Bai Sheni, which is the closest to us, but Badai Bai Svishon as well, but we are closest to that. Kol she'elo nivne biyom of kidu nechva biyom. That's the point here. We have to review this. We have to think, how is our relationship? How do we deal with it? What is it going on? I heard myself with Chizkiyahu Mishkovsky, Kosovod in the Gua, when he was masmid with Goshen Edelstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Chizkiyahu Mishkovsky, one of the great Rosh Hashivas in Bnei Brak. He asked Reb Gershon, he said, he had asked Reb Gershon, when Reb Gershon was masmid with Aaron Lane, he asked him, why is it that you only mentioned Inyanim Rebbein Adam Rechaveiroi? Why didn't you talk about his great Limud HaTorah, his Asmada in Torah? He set up yeshivas, all the great yeshivas of Aaron Lane. Why didn't you mention that? So Mishkovsky said, Reb Gershon answered me as follows, because Reb Aaron Lane held that the greatest ikuv which there is nowadays is Bein Odom Lachaveiro, the lack of respect, the lack of recognition, Bein Odom Lachaveiro, whoever or whatever they are, that's what's missing. We don't see the Tselem Elokim, we don't see that there is somebody there, a Yid is there. He survived the Holocaust, this Yid, and give him the respect, give him whatever he is. In my eyes, Rabbeisai, if you don't go to the army, you have to have phenomenal respect for Chayalim. They are Moise Nefesh. You're not going to the army. The Seder, we're not going. But if you're not, then you have to stand back and stand up for them. These are Chayalim. Hinei lo yonu ve lo yishon, Shomer Yisrael. You have to daven for these Chayalim. We have to daven for them. Hashem Yishmorcha mikol ro, Yishbar Es Nashu. We have to. They're Chayalim, and they're giving their lives for it. Rav Gusman, Zichron Levocha Hel, these are the Kedoshim in Chayal Yisrael. A bocha came to Reb Shlomo Zalman and said to him, he wanted to go for a few days to go to Maron, to the Mokom of Tzadikim. Shlomo Zalman said, why are you going so far? He said, Vat Bebi, don't you ever go to these places? He said, no, you don't have to. I go to Tibet Tzadikim, I go to Har Herzl, it's enough for me. I go to Maron, that's what he had said. I go to Har Herzl, Chayal. Chayal was giving his life up, the Klal Yisrael, the Mesiras Nefesh, and the Amonas and the Asolim that are in Klal Yisrael. We have to show the respect for these people. If you don't go to the army, per se, you don't go, but the respect for, and davening for them. Achinu b'nei Yisrael, hanasunim batzoro v'ashivyon. That is the care. That is what's necessary in our times. You know, when you go to the dentist, you can have what's called a shinanit. He cleans your teeth. It's not very painful. He just tidies you up. Sometimes you can go for a filling, a little bit more complicated a filling. But if lo aleinu, you need what's called root canal work. If you need root, well, I'm not saying wisdom teeth, you need your wisdom, not wisdom. But you need, if you have root canal work, what he does is he drills and drills and drills down until he gets to the root. There's a lot of drilling going on. Rabbeisai, sitting on the ground, on Tisha B'Av, we have to do drill down. Go down and down and up. What is the tibul shayrish that we need? What is exactly the basis of this sin aschinam, this enmity, this division, which is going on here? What is the basis behind it? If we can correct it, maybe we can walk away tonight and think to ourselves, I have a new mindset, I have a new thought, a new derech hachayim. The haflo, the Pinchas HaLevi Horovitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, lived about 230 years ago. He was the Rav of Frankfurt. He was at the same time as the Nossen Adler. Nossen Adler had his minion with the Birchas Kohen. There were two great Talmid Chachamim in Frankfurt at the time, the Haflor and the Nossen Adler. The Chassam Sofer said that Haflor was his Rebbe Mufak. Rebbe Mufak, that's what he said, the Haflor. Wrote a Perush on Kiddushin, which you know. He also wrote a Perush on the Chumash called the Ponim Yofos. He says in the following, and I believe this is, from this basis, we can learn what's called the Petipul Shevish, what's going on here. The Haflor said as follows. Remember the episode when Rivka told Yaakov, you're going to have to run away. V'atobani, shema b'koili, kum, berach l'cho el lovan ochi charona. Run away to my brother, lovan in choron. Why? Yoshabta imo. Stay there, yomim achodin, for quite a while. Stay there for a few days. Ad asher toshub chamas ochicha, until your brother's anger calms down. Don't come close. Run away. Next pasuk, Rabbi Isai. Ad shuv af ochicha mimcho, until your anger for him subsides. B'shochach es asher osiso loy, b'sholachti b'lekachti l'chom yishon. What is she saying here? Esav soines Yaakov. No, it's more than that. It began from Yaakov being Soyne Esav, Tachlis Sinos and Esim, in Kuf Lamed Tes. He hated the bad, he hated the evil of Esav. He hated that evil of Esav, and that generated tremendous hatred from Esav to him. How come? What happened here? Esav, Yaakov hated Esav, and therefore Esav hated Makorekan. What happened here? Rabbeisai, There was an Adam Godel, Ma'ayid, who lived in Beit Pagan, who was Nifta a few years ago. He was probably the greatest Goan in Eretz Yisrael in Koichas HaNefesh. He had phenomenal understanding of how people work. His name was Rav Shlomo Hoffman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Chabal at Abdin de Lohi County Oto, I did not know him, but I read a tremendous amount about what he wrote. He was an Adam Godel Ma'ayid. He was a Talmud of Rav Isaac Sher. When Rav Isaac Sher, Zecher Livracha, came to Yisrael, he was from Slobodka, he made what's called a Chabur of Klugas. Kluger mentioned with Bel Schwarzman, with Galia Eisman, and he was one of them as well. There was a special Chabur. Rav Isaac saw there was a tremendous lack of chinuch in the door, and he trained these people. Out of all of them, Rav Shlomo Hoffman, who was phenomenally tzanua, I didn't know him, but I read a great deal about him. He was the yoetz, believe it or not, of all the gedolim. The Chazon Ish held of him, the Satmar Rebbe held of him. The Brisko Rav turned around and said to him as follows, your name is Shlomo, you do whatever you think is right. You don't have to ask anybody, whatever. As a young man, I think he was maybe over 20, 25, the Gedalia Eisman, Zecherono Livracha, introduced him to Rav Shach, who was that time the Chavusa of Gedalia Eisman. It was before he was the Rosh Hashanah of Polovich. And from that time on, I think he was about 30 or 40 years older than Rav Shach Hoffman. Any question that Rav Hoffman had, that Rav Shach had, he went straight to Rav Hoffman. He answered all his questions. How to deal with this problem, how to deal with that problem. Evidently, when Rav Shach became the Godel Hador, Moshe Shvi Yoponovich, every single week, he sent the Gabbai, Aschayev, every week, with a bunch of letters, asking him, how do I answer, how do I tackle these problems? He understood people. He had tremendous ingenuity and chokhmah of how to deal with people. Phenomenal. They wanted him very much to be the Mashgiach in Chevron, but he refused. He said, no, I want to stay here. I want to stay connected with people. He went into prisons and he helped people. He was phenomenally attached to people. Phenomenally attached to people. He understood what was going on. He realized the problem that there was between in the door. He realized what was happening in the door. He realized the enmity which was happening and the sin, and that was even going on at those times. Just as a side point, you might think to yourself, this is a problem. This problem was not always in Klal Yisrael. Not always in Klal Yisrael. Let me just a little bit of a side point, which I'd like to add. In 1877, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik was a Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin. There was a bocher who was learning there at the time, who was Chaim Nachman Bialik. He was inside the yeshiva. And Reb Chaim noticed that he was involved with a Haskalah, and he realized he could not stay in the yeshiva. He asked him, he has to leave. It was an awful situation. They said, you have to leave. And he was furious. He was angry, Bialik. He'd learned there for 6 years. And he said, but you have to leave. You cannot stay here. The Chaim said, I'm going to take him down to the train station. You have to leave him a special Seisrem Rosholim. You cannot let him just go down to the train station by himself. The Chaim took him down to the train station and calmed him down. He was Mafayez. Before he got on the train, Reb Chaim stood there with him and said to him as follows, I see that you have phenomenal koyach you have in writing. Your poems are very, very powerful. I want to ask you to make a commitment to me. You will never, ever write anything disparaging about B'nai Torah. Please, do not do that. Do not do that. Do not do that. Bialik agreed. He agreed with him. He would not write anything. His poems were magnificent poems, as you know, in Eretz Yisrael. But in reality, he never wrote anything against them. Rabbi Sai, 100 years later, in 1977, there was a vote in the Knesset whether to take Yeshiva Bochum like we have nowadays. The same problem was going on. It was one casting vote which had to be made. Do we take Yeshiva Bochum or not? That one casting vote was in the hands of Moshe Dayan. Moshe Dayan, as you know, the general during the Six-Day War, had one casting vote. He was brought in to cast a vote, and he voted against the bill not to take Yeshiva Bochum into the army. In 1977, 100 years later. A month or two later, Dayan was going to America with Menachem Begin, who was the prime minister at the time. But Moshe Scherer, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, organized a special meeting where Moshe wanted to talk and thank Moshe Dayan for what he had done. He had saved the Olam HaTorah. And they made a meeting with Rav Ruderman, Rav Putner, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky at the time. And Rav Moshe turned around and asked Dayan as follows, tell me, it was a wonderful thing what you did, you saved the Olam HaTorah. Tell me, why did you do that? What's behind it all? And Dayan said as follows, I'll be honest with you, I grew up in a completely secular environment. We ate on Yom Kippur, we ate treif, we had no connection whatsoever to anything in Judaism whatsoever. But I went to a school, I think it was called the Ginosa. It was up on the, in the Galil somewhere. And we were given poems to read. And I read a poem called the Masmid, Hamatmid, which was written by the Alec. It was a beautiful poem, and I made a certain report about it. And I was very taken. I didn't know, I was not in this world at all. But he described all the beauty of a bento who sits and learns, who's dedicated, who spends hours and hours, hardly sleeps at night, and day and night he learns Torah. I was taken by it, and I was influenced by it. When it came to the vote, I thought to myself as follows. I am not going to be the one who's going to rock the whole tradition of the Jewish people. If there are these people, let them be as they are. You hear such a thing? And that's why I could not vote for this bill. That's the reason why. Unbelievable thing, though. Because of that, the Olam Yeshiva stayed from 1977 until the present proceedings which are going on. All because of the Chochmah of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. The Biskorov evidently had once said he had the ability and the foresight to look ahead to see what would happen maybe in a month or two ahead. My father, Reb Chaim, could see 100 years ahead. Here you see it. 100 years ahead, Reb Chaim saw the koyach of the Alec, and for that, he was prepared. He warned him. That was the point behind it all. Evidently, Melavax in his book, that they took this Meiser to Reb David Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livrochem, told him the Meiser, and evidently, the Beis HaLevi, the father of Reb Chaim, had shown some of the Chidushei Torah to Reb Yisrael Salant. Reb Yisrael Salant had said as follows, your son is going to be a tremendous power and renewal of Torah in the yeshiva world. He will be the one who will look after the Olam HaTorah, the Briskada of Reb Chaim's Torah in learning. Not just in learning, but in saving Klal Yisrael, the Chochmah of an Adam Gadol, to see ahead what was going on. You should be aware, Rabbi Yisrael, this is a problem which has really only come up so much now, but in the old times, even Moshe Dayan recognizes the importance of it. Let's come back to Reb Shlomo Hoffman. Reb Shlomo Hoffman was aware of all these problems going on. He was very much aware. He held that there's something called a Shulchan Aruch of social relationship, social reaction, how a husband and wife are supposed to be together, how a neighbors are supposed to relate to each other, how brothers and sisters, how neighbors are supposed to relate, how a Rebbe is supposed to relate to a Talmud. Every single human connection was based on one Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Kof Zayin Pasuk Yutes, Kamayim,
like
you look inside the water and you see a reflection of yourself. Just in the same way as you look in the water and you see a reflection of yourself, so it is, Kein Lev HaOdom Ela Odom. And he held this was the principle in which all human relations is made. You look at somebody, and that connection goes right through. How you are by yourself, that generates a reaction from it. Rashi says in the Gemara in Yevamistak, Kuf Yud Zayin, Atah Mazbir Ponim Lasheni, Hu Mazbir Lecha. Im Atah Lo Mazbir Ponim Lo, Hu Lo Yazbir Lecha. It all depends on how Kamayim Lepamam, Kamayim Leponim Leponim, like the water comes back to your face, Kein Lev HaOdom El Odom. As you are, so it shows back. The Or HaChaim calls it, the beautiful expression, the Or HaChoizeh, that the light goes back. As you give something, it comes back. That is the basis of marriage, that's the basis of relationship. Any human relationship, Kamayim LeYam LeChaz, like the Mayim to the Yam, the Mayim to water, water, so it is Kein Lev HaOdom El Odom. That's the way it works. Phenomenal rule here. That is the basis of human relationships. And therefore, Rivka turned around and said to Yaakov as follows, your anger must subside first before Esav will subside in his anger towards you. It's dependent on you. Once it calms down, over time, it will disappear. It will go away in time. You'll see. Wait a while and it'll come back again. You will be calmed down and he will be calmed down. That's the basis behind it all. You cannot hide it, Rabbi Isai. You cannot be English. You know, English people have put on a big smile and put a dagger in your back behind afterwards. You can't be English. What you have in your heart, it comes, the heart comes out. As you are in your heart, so it comes out in the heart. You cannot hide it. It goes right through. However you're talking to somebody, your mazbir upon him, the Or HaChoizeh comes back, as Yoach Chaim said. That said, Reb Shlomo Hoffman is a Shulchan Aruch of all interaction, whether it's a husband or wife, whoever, sisters, brothers, whatever you want. As you show a face, so the face comes back. like the water comes in, like a reflection, so leva adam el adam. And there's no problem with distance either. You can be at one end of the world to the other end of the world. If there is ava, then it goes back. If there's not, then it comes back. I have a raya. I was thinking about it. Maybe it's a raya. Remember when Eshes Lot turned around and turned into a pillar of salt? Rashi says the reason is because she wouldn't give salt to the visitors who came in. The Ramban is choleik. The Ramban says as follows, that's not the reason why. She was told not to turn around. She turned around and lingered in her heart for the children who were still there in Stoim. She was there. She could have been 1,000 miles away. She looked at Stoim. She was there. The lev is mechaber. You are connected to where you're thinking. The weather at the moment in Stoim and Amo was gofis for melech. So she turned into gofis for melech. The lev connects you. It's an incredible thought. It goes through. She was here, but she wanted to be there. She was right. So therefore she was there. And therefore she turned into Phillips. So says the Ramban. That's an incredible pshat here. The lev is mechabeyu. That's a lev ha'odom el ha'odom. My boy Sai was just learning the other day in the Gemara in Yuma. Mida tova is meruba mida roa. To what degree, says the Gemara, 500 times more. Can you imagine a lev toiv, which goes over, the koyach to come back again? How strong it is? If you give over a lev toiv, it comes right back at you. Umazvi upon him, the pace comes back. That is the klal, that is the drilling which is needed. That is the root canal here. To put inside your heart the love for another Jew. And once you do that, the drilling, that's root canal work. And therefore you have love for the other person. And maybe I think Zoraya, I think. I don't know if I'm right. Rob will agree with me or not, I don't know. In Shulchan Aruch, in Tzadik Dalet, Shulchan Aruch says, whenever you daven, you must face towards Yerushalayim. Why? You face towards Yerushalayim, the Chofetz Chaim, in other words, if you're in America, you'll face east. If you're in the north, you'll face south. You face towards, why? Says the Chofetz Chaim, the first He'orah in Sif Kotten, in Siman Tzadik Dalet, Ki'ilu ato oime b'kodesh kadoshim. I'm not. I'm in Chicago. I'm in Paris. I'm in Melbourne. What do you mean? No, once you think you're there, you're there. It's not a hallucination. You're actually there. You're there in the Kodesh Kodosh. And that's why we have to stand with feet together and head down and can't look anywhere else. It's you're right there. Dalif Nehemiah, you are there in the Kodesh Kodosh. That's the Kodesh. Mida Tova is Merubah. The lev is there. Once you're connected with your lev, then you're there. You're there in the situation. That, Rabbi Isai, is the tipul shevish that we need to recognize in the heart. Once you give your heart over to somebody else, whoever he is and whatever he is, he's a misken, whatever community he belongs to, whatever Ada it is. I'm not saying you have to marry them, I'm not saying you have to daven with them, I don't have to be buddy friends, but there must be no sinner. There has to be a recognition of who the people are. Case number two. Myself, I never ever, for years, have ever realized, understanding the pshat here. When the brothers came down and saw Yosef, says the pasuk, "Vehein lo hikiruhu." How can you possibly not recognize a brother? How can it possibly? And then when I first came to Har Noch, I had a whole machlokes in the parasha of Miketz, I remember, with some time with the Chacham. What does it mean you don't recognize? A brother sees a brother. Just the beard, like Rashi says? The Or HaChaim does not accept that. The Or HaChaim does not say that. He said, it can't be, just because, you know him, it was your brother, you spoke to him, so he has a beard, but he said, you didn't talk to him, the son spoke to the brother, but you're looking at him, he's your brother, how can you not possibly recognize him? The Or HaChaim says as follows, and this is Rav Hoffman brings it down, based on the principle of, so the Lev Ha'odon, as far as the brothers were concerned, this boy was a chasadas. He was a hopeless case. He looked after his hair. Yosef was a 17-year-old wayward. He was like a Yishmael. He was like an Aesop. He was a nobody. They rated him a zero. That's why when they came down to Mitzrayim, they went to the worst possible area in Mitzrayim. Why? Because that's who they thought he was. He was a nobody. They wrote him off completely. They completely wrote him off. There was absolutely zero lave for Yosef. And therefore, when they looked him in the face and they saw this viceroy, it couldn't possibly... It's not him. It can't possibly be him. It never even dawned on them. Why? Because there was no lave. It was zero. They had written him off completely. No connection whatsoever. And that was the basis of it all. Incredible thought here. The reason why they didn't recognize, because they never ever thought, they wrote him off completely. He was a nobody. He didn't recognize at all. I don't know. I'll ask you a personal question. You don't have to answer. Do you ever write anybody off in your life? Did anybody write anybody off? You say, that person is hopeless, that person is no good. Let me tell you, I'll tell you what nice that happened to me. Maybe you can learn from my mistakes. I remember we came into a new area in Yerushalayim. And I went to the shul in the morning. I knew nobody at all. I went into the shul. And after davening, I went over to people. I said, good morning, Boker Tov. And I went over to people. People answered me. One person who I went over, I said, good morning, went, ugh, ugh. And second morning, ugh. That's how he answered me. So I labeled him, he's a grunter. A grunter, and that's a Gornish, a nobody. I wrote him off completely. Someone says good morning to you, say, ugh. That's all he could say to me in the morning. Vahi Hayom, he came to Judgment Day. I was on the plane going to London, visiting my mother, Aleha Shalom. And I'm sitting on a seat, and behind me, I heard the most phenomenal conversation between a father and a daughter. I heard the father talking, and there was a little girl sitting next to him. He was singing Zmiros of Shabbos, he was telling stories, he was telling jokes, they were laughing together. I felt so humiliated. Never in my life have I ever spoken to my children like he was speaking to his daughter. It was incredible. I couldn't believe it. I stood up to see who it was. It was the grunter. It was him. It was there. He turned around and he said to his daughter, oh, this is a good friend of mine. A friend of mine? Not a friend of yours. I thought, he introduced me to his daughter. This is a good friend of mine who davens together with me. And she had irons all the way down her legs and irons on. She was a very, very sick child. I said to him, you're going to London? I said, yeah. I said, yes, I'm also going to London. I have to go in every month or so to a famous hospital in London, Great Ormond Street Hospital for children. I have to take my daughter every single day, every single month there, or something like that. I looked at him, I thought to myself, oh my, look what he goes through, this man in his life. I sat down on the seat and I thought to myself, Oshamnu Bogadnu. When I judged this man, I wrote him off. I decided when I went back home, I'm going to find out who he was. It turned out he was the most exemplary father you can possibly imagine. He had two other children who were terribly sick. He was a phenomenal Talmid Chacham. He gave shiurim non-stop in the community. He was a phenomenal Talmid Chacham. I then realized to myself, when he came to shul in the morning, he had no koyach. All he could do was, he had no koyach in him. I wrote him off. You hear the point? I wrote him off. And I was wrong. I didn't realize this is, you don't know what's going on in the person's life. You have no idea why someone grunts at you in the morning. What's the reason behind? To lo yodea, lo mevin lama. If you have a chance, Rabbi Isai, and you get home, take a look at the last medrash in Parsha Vayeshev. It's a phenomenal medrash, most beautiful medrash. The medrash brings down how the Sahar Mashkin did not remember Yosef. Ulo zocha mahamashkin es Yosef. Says the medrash, he didn't forget, but I did not forget. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani lo shachachti ota. I did not forget you. Then the Medrash starts like this. Listen to these words. It's a magnificent point. Says the Medrash, Mi machake, whoever would have believed, she'avoam besora, who are old age pensioners, that they would have a child? Mi machake. You would ever think, you would write them off. They'll never have a child. Mi machake, said the Medrash, that Yaakov, when he crossed over the Yarden with his makel, he had nothing. He didn't hardly have clothes on his back, no? And he left and came back with a multimillionaire afterwards. Mi machake. If you would have been standing at the pit watching Yosef inside the boar with all the snakes and the scorpions, you would have looked, Mi machake, she Yosef, she yemelech amitzvayim, matome. You would have written him off. You would have written him off completely. He has no life in front of him, nothing at all. Mimachake, if he was standing by the Nile, watching Miriam, watching Moshe inside the crib, sailing off in the wood. That child, what he's going to come out to be, Mimachake, you would write them off. You would write them off completely. Mimachake, the David HaMelech, who was supposed to be a mamza. David HaMelech, is a chai b'kayom. Mimachake, the Rus HaMoaviyah. It's a moyotika medrash. That she would become the matriarch of monarchy in Kalis. Mimachake, who would think of such a thing? Then the Mimachaka Levena Yisrael Bahomon, who would think such a thing? Then the Medrash ends in a magnificent way. Mimachaka, the all these evil golas which is happening will turn out the shame of Tiferes Beklal Yisrael. Mimachaka, the Sukkas Dovid Anopheles, Sheyel, the shame of Tiferes. Mimachaka, that Alaksa Mox will all get. You write it off, no? You write it off. And that's the problem. Mimachaka, who would think of such a thing? You don't think of such a thing. That's the basis behind it all. A third case study, if I had time, just a few more minutes. The first one is Rivka, the second one is the brothers, and the Or HaChaim, Rav Hoffman, brings down the third case as well. No, he doesn't bring this case down. I looked it up myself. Rav Hoffman does not bring this up. I worked on it a little bit myself, and I saw this. It's a Meimah of Rav Elia in Parshas Vayigash. Rav Elia brings down, I looked at this point, and I remember this Meimah of Rav Elia. Rav Elia brings down for the Gemara in Baba Metziah, Daf Lamed Beis. Is Tzar Balei Chaim Doraisa or not? It's a Shaila in the Gemara. The Gemara comes out as follows. If your soiner is unloading his animal, which is Tsar Balei Chaim, should you help him? On the other side, your oyhev is loading up the animal. The Tsar Balei Chaim is with the soiner. You should really go and help him first, the soiner. Even though your oyhev is loading up our Tsar Balei Chaim, forget about Tsar Balei Chaim. It's better to be koivesh on your yitzvoy and to work on your middas. It's more of a mila to work on your middas. And therefore, it's advantageous to help the soiner you're working yourself. Tosfos in Psachim, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, Rav Elia brings down as follows. 1 minute. How can you possibly hate him? If you're hating somebody, you shouldn't have a person you hated. Tosfos says, you are legitimately allowed to hate him because he was a Rosha. He did the Dovah Elva, and therefore you're allowed to hate him. Nevertheless, says Tosfos, this is what Rav Elia brings down, if the God Lador is on one side, he's loading up the animal, and your soiner, who you hate, you should go and help him first. Don't help the God Lador. Help, because it's more worthy to help out, to be Kovish as Yitzhak to that. Reb Elia brings Reb Yitzhak Peterberger, a Moyot Gazach. 1 minute. There's a mitzvah to hate this person, says Reb Elia as follows. No, no, no. That mitzvah will be completely overblown by the sinner. You go way beyond the mitzvah. What happens as you hate him, so he hates you, and that generates more and more. It becomes a malignant cancer. It cannot go into remission. That sort of hatred goes so deep. It's far, far deeper. You have to work on that. That sinner goes way beyond the mitzvah of being able to hate him. Pasuk says in Mishlei, Chachazek b'musa al teref, nitzreha ki hi chayeha. Person has to work on himself, no? Work on yourself, to drill deeper inside. Why do I dislike that person? Why do I not like that person? Says the Gaon on that posuk. And if you don't work on it, lama lo chayim, what are you living for? What's the purpose of your life? If one can't work on one midas, to look at the person without that mindless hatred, to be drilled down and say to yourself, I must show mazbi upon him. If I show mazbi upon him, then it'll come back again. And that's the basis of it. Otherwise, lo aleinu v'boy say, we're not Yeshurim. Ain't a Kodesh Baruch Hu soivel tzadikim. Mamash, what will he say about us? Is that what's going on in our time now in Shomayim? We love daf hayomi. We're careful of mitzvahs and kashrus and chinuch habonim. Oh, but the yachas, and that's what it was Yosha to make a chuban by Beis HaMikdash. It was Yosha to make a chuban. Maz, Yosha. Tzadik the Yosha who says the Netziv. And that's the hagdomah to kol ha-toyol kula. That's what's the Netziv. I was once sitting at a chasna in London, sitting next to a Rav, with Shimon Weingarten, Shir Bari, a Rav in London. And someone got up to speak at the chasna and was talking about the milas of the father of the Kala. He was talking about his medaktik in mitzvahs, comes to shul on time, he's very careful with all his mitzvahs. And then the speaker started saying as follows, he's not a yekka. He doesn't talk like a yekka, he doesn't behave like. And he went on with a few mimic jokes about yekkas. When he came down and finished, Rabbi Weingarten went over and said, what might you have to talk like that in public? What might you have to say about yekkas for? What's wrong? Why are you castigating and disparaging a certain group of Klal Yisrael? And he let him have it. He said, don't talk about people yekkas. He's a Jew. What do you want from him? Why are you saying such a thing like that? What's behind it all? Why do you say? And he told him off. He said, you don't do that. You don't talk about people like that. Yekkas and Sfardim. You don't talk about people like that. Rabbeisai, this week was the yahrzeit of the Arizal. Know a little bit about who the Arizal was. Evidently, the Arizal didn't teach that much inside the Beis HaMedrash. Most of the lessons which the Talmidim of Chaim Vital picked up from the Arizal was on a walk they used to take regularly to Meron, and they used to pass by the kever of Yehuda by Eloi on the way, and he used to stop there at the Idra Rabbah. The Idra Rabbah was the mokum where Shimon bar Yochai taught the Talmidim. And it's a place still there, you can see it. And Arizal used to take the Talmidim inside, and he told Rabbi Chaim Vital, sit on the stone here where Rabbi Abba sat. Rabbi Abba was the kosev, was the sefer of Shimon bar Yochai. So you sit there. Rabbi Chaim Vital was the main Talmid, and Elozer, and he told them where to sit. And he sat on the chair, on the stone where Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, he knew exactly where everybody was sitting. He trained them all. He turned around and said to him as follows, the reason why I'm here is for three reasons I have in my life. There are three reasons why I'm here. The first reason is to teach whatever I know in Kabbalah to my Talmid or Chaim Vital. The purpose I am here for is that the Chaim should know all my Sodos in Torah. And also I should spread the importance of Kabbalah. That's what the Arizal said. The second reason is to make people more careful with Torah and mitzvahs and dikduk in mitzvahs. And the third reason is, he said as follows, is that to make people aware, to wake up the spark of the Mashiach that will come. Then the Arizal said as follows to the Talmid. He had a small chabur of people who he worked with. He then said to him as follows, which you should know, everything in my life will fail totally unless you have shalom and ahava amongst all of you. You must love each other, must care for each other. Nothing will work. You will not be able to mekabel any of my Torah, all the Sisrei Torah, unless there is shalom and ahava amongst all of you. And that was the condition. And if not, you must daven for each other, you must care for each other, with tremendous love, tremendous love. There was a plague in Tzvas, and the Arizal found a courtyard and took all the families, the Talmidim with the families, into a courtyard to avoid the plague. And they lived there for several months. It was in 1572. They lived there. One Friday afternoon, an argument broke out between two women in the courtyard. And they were very angry with each other. The husbands got involved, and there was a real dinger, a real fight between the two people in the courtyard. It was for Erev Shabbos, and they've already came to the Arizal to be Mekabel Shabbos. You know where the Arizal Shul is in Tzvas? That was originally a field where the Arizal used to go out to be Mekabel Shabbos. That place was the way he went out. So they went out to be Mekabel Shabbos, and they went back into Shul then in order to daven Ma'ariv. But Chaim Vital saw the Arizal, he looked absolutely terrible. He looked shocking. He was a long face, he was as miserable. Never did he look like that on Shabbos. He was always beaming with Kedushas Shabbos. And Shom Yaseh. Rav Chaim Vital went over to the Arizal and said to him, Rebbe, what is wrong? He said, I heard this afternoon the Malach HaMelech came and told me my time is up. I must leave the world. Time is up. There was a gzadin against me, but so long as there was shalom in the machane, everything would work. Because of this machlokes, the gzadin cannot be changed. And I will die in a few days' time. He became sick on Rosh Chodesh Av, and he died on Hey Av. He was 38 years old. Tragedy, 38 years old. He was about to be Megale Kol HaTorah Kula, the Seidus of Torah. And the Chaim Vital then spent the next 47 years writing out all the Ksodim of the Arizal. He went away and we lost him because of the lack of recognition, the Anachloikis in Klal Yisrael. No? It's called Rabbi Shein. You know, you say everything else is important, but the Yashrus evidently is everything, absolutely everything. Today, Rabbeisai, is the Yortzeit of the Altar from Kelm. It's a beautiful story about the Altar. The Altar would go for a walk often around. It was a little shtetl Kelm. He would go walking around the village with a few people, few Talmidim, and he would see a wagon driver. In the middle of talking in Torah, he would turn out and, what a wonderful horse you have. He looks so strong. Look at the legs of the horse. He would talk to the wagon driver, stop and give him a brocha, and say to him, you should be matzliach in everything that you do, and carry on. You hear the point? In the middle of talking in Torah, but he saw a wagon driver. The care that he took, the ma'abakach, the milei ba'alma which he had there, that was the recognition behind it. Reb Nosson Tzvi, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was once sitting at a chasna on the head table with another one of the greatest Rosh Hashivas in Eretz Yisrael, sitting at the table. A bocha came over to him with long hair and a t-shirt. Reb Nosson Tzvi stood up to talk to him for about five minutes. And the bocha went away. The other Rosh Hashiva turned around and said, Reb Nosson, why do you spend your time with such Talmidim? Reb Nosson Tzvi turned around to him and said as follows, If my rebbes would have looked at me like you looked at him, I would never be sitting here today. My rebbes, Reb Lezer Yudel, accepted everybody. If they would have looked at me like you looked at that bocha, I would never be sitting here as Rosh Hashiva. I think he came into the mirror with a baseball cap first of all, and Reb Lezer Yudel saw something in him and was makabel him when he came to Rosh Hashiva. That's the nekuda here. The nekuda here to recognize somebody, whoever and whatever he is, to pick them up. And that's the yashrus. No? The yashrus was always there in Klal Yisrael. But what happened now in our times, the division, it's gone out of control completely. This business with the media, the courts, the charedim, the reaction. We ourselves have to recognize the importance of chayalim, of chilonim, whoever they are. They're yidden. We have to recognize and accept. I'd like to finish with the most beautiful maisa, which Rav Shlomo Hoffman used to tell, and used to tell to all the chanchin who he spoke to. It's a beautiful maisa. The Gemara in the Doim Daf Tes Amud Beis brings down the maisa of the Godel Hador, Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Godel. Shimon HaTzadik was walking one day around the Beis HaMikdash, and he saw a boy with long, long hair walking around there. He turned round to the young boy and said to him, Bani, not young man, Bani, my dear son. Why are you destroying such wonderful hair? You are nausea. Why are you cutting such beautiful hair? I didn't say to him, you're a goy, get out of here. No, didn't say that to him. Bani, why are you cutting such beautiful hair? So the bocha turned around and said to him as follows, I come from the south, and I was working for my father in the fields, and I looked inside a pool, and I saw a reflection of myself. And I thought to myself, goodness me, I'm so beautiful, my yetzahar can trap me. I decided I will cut my hair as a nausea and give my hair over. Rav Shimon Azad gave him, a hug and a kiss afterwards and said to him, Halavai, there would always be Nazirim like you. He never would eat from the korban of a Nazir, but this one he did eat. Why? Because he was so genuine, such a genuine person. The Mili Ba'alma, no? To turn down to a kid with long hair, Bani. I remember Rav Matisyol, Zechasai Klifoach, when Gates said, I remember so well. He came to Pashas of Yaakov Avinu. I remember the Shmuz so well. After learning in Yeshiva for Shema Neva for years and years, he turned and said, Achai, my brothers. Shepherds, since when are the shepherds my brothers? The Gisha, it's the approach we just need. Lani Yazdaiti, that is the point. That is the Shulchan Aruch. That's what we have to work with. Look at us, and we should be Yosha like the Ovis HaKadoshim. We can follow in this way and accept people. And people who don't know anything, people who are completely chilonim, whoever they are, they don't know. They never had the opportunities that we had. No one ever showed them anything. They don't know. What was that? Rav Shach always used to cry all the time. Children don't know Shema Yisrael. They don't know. No one ever showed them. I'm not saying them are Rachmanas, but to accept them, to bring them and work with them. That, I believe, will be our tikkun. That is the tikkun shorish that we need. That is called drilling deeper down and down so that we can walk away from here with a new mindset, a different mindset. We should be zeichet to see Binyan HaMikdash. Amen. 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 Amen.